Jesus is less than 24 hours from his death, his sacrifice, the laying down of his life for his people, including you. And he stops this night, sends a couple of his disciples up to prepare a room so they can share the Passover together. And then Jesus sits down with them, and look at chapter 13, verse 1 of John. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover," that's before they ate it, "when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world," what does it say there? "He loved them to the end."
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
Welcome to Refuge Radio with Pastor Bill Welsh. Refuge Radio is the broadcast ministry of Refuge, Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. It's a brand new week, and we're very happy that you've chosen to join us today. Today we begin to wrap up a three-part series Pastor Bill is entitled Life Above and Beyond the Call of Duty. The difference between being a believer, saying the prayer, and reserving your place in heaven, and being a believer and answering the call for the work that glorifies God. Pastor Bill has given some great examples in this teaching of those that have answered that call, and today's teaching will prove to be an excellent conclusion to the series. With the first half of part three of Life Above and Beyond the Call of Duty, here's Pastor Bill Welsh on Refuge Radio.
Today we're continuing on this study of life above and beyond the call of duty. And this is session three, or study three, part three, and the final one in this, but I am so excited to talk about what we're going to look at today. But to do that, I want to back up, and I want you to read this verse that we sort of ended with last week together with me. Would you please? Let's read. Here we go. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." One more time, everybody. Crank it up a little bit more. Here we go. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." 1 John 3, verse 1. Father, thank you for this amazing invitation into your family. The way, Lord, that you have demonstrated your love to us. We thank you, Father God, for the extension of your love, the offer of salvation. Father, how far above and beyond the call of duty and what was expected, how far beyond that you went to save us. Lord, we thank you. What more could we say? What would be more appropriate than to begin just by saying thank you, Father, for that? Open our hearts now, Lord, to your truth, to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have been looking at this idea of living above and beyond the call of duty and above what's expected, above what's the accepted norm. Now, one of the statements I've loved from Dave Ramsey in this Financial Peace University thing we've been looking at, he's got this opening phrase, and it's really great. He says, if normal is broke, if being normal in America means being broken in debt, if that's normal, then I want to be weird. Anybody else? If it's normal to be broke, then I would rather be weird. And I don't know of anybody that really just wants to live their life like the normal herd. And I think a child of God has this heart to live above and beyond the normal, accepted, low level that so many live in today. The last 2 weeks, the focus has really been, so far anyway, on us. Learning about loving confrontation when that's needed, something every parent and even spouse needs to know. How do you talk over those kind of issues? We've talked about forgiveness, granting and accepting another person when they come to you and they say, "I'm sorry." Learning how to grant that kind of forgiveness. We've learned about having clean hands and a pure what? A pure heart. We've talked about purity and holiness and refusing to live like the rest of the world. We talked last week about doing things that are outrageously beautiful things for Jesus. Not necessarily things that catch the attention of the Orange County Register, the LA Times, but just those day by day, some people call them small little acts of kindness that are outrageously beautiful. Now, I keep seeing examples of that. As I look around this congregation, I look at the staff, and week after week, I watch the way that the people that serve you do it in such an outrageously beautiful way, above and beyond what is expected and what's acceptable by so many people. I watch it constantly in this office. I watch people who serve with an amazing, you know what I mean when I say OTT? Anybody recognize that little acronym? Over the top. An OTT sort of a mindset that I'm going to do what's a little bit more than they expect of me. This last Thursday, I went down to Long Beach. We usually have our staff devotion here at 8:30, but I had an appointment with an old friend. Now, Fred Newkirk, back in the late 1960s, was called to be the pastor of a local church in Long Beach. And he had gone through Bible college. He and his wife had been prepared for ministry, and they came back from their Israel trip, and they plunged into a ministry in Long Beach. One problem, though. All the congregation at that church had moved out of the inner city and out to the suburbs, but it was still pretty much that same congregation. And so what Fred did was began to minister to the neighborhood. Well, the neighborhood, can we say, had changed colors. So Fred began to bring in the kids and the families who were predominantly black families in that neighborhood. Well, the congregation didn't like that, so they fired him. Fred went to the home mission board and said, I want to become a missionary to Long Beach. And so he started Inner City Ministries. When it started, it was Inner City Ministry because it was Long Beach. Before long, it was Inner Cities Ministries because it branched out to Pasadena and to L.A., And Fred had started a number of little outreaches and ministries. One of them was a little coffee house on the corner of 4th and Almond. Anybody know Long Beach? 4th and Almond. And it was a place called the House of Zacchaeus. And it was just a coffee shop. And that's where a young man by the name of Bill Welsh met a young lady by the name of Joy, soon to be Welsh. That's where we met. And so I owe Fred a lot. And I'm very thankful for that man. He celebrated 40 years of ministry a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't make it to the Saturday celebration. And so I called him and said, Fred, I want to come down and take you to breakfast. He said, well, why don't you meet me at 8:30 for our basement fellowship? Fred had started a Thursday morning and a Sunday night basement fellowship. And this is really cool, in the basement of the church that kicked him out as their pastor at the corner of Atlantic and 8th Street. And every Thursday morning, and every Sunday night, they put on the food, you know. And you come in there at about 8 o'clock, and it's... How many of you have ever been to a Quaker meeting? Maybe you've heard of the old Quaker meetings. Old Quaker meetings, you sat in a circle, you sat in a congregation, and as God led you, you popped up and you shared what was on your heart. Maybe you shared a prayer, might have been a song, might have been something you got out of the Word, whatever it was. Well, that was going on at about 8 o'clock when I got there. That went on until close to 9 o'clock. I was thinking, where is Fred? And I realized, man, this guy set me up. He set me up to come here and watch one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a long time. About 9 o'clock, the donuts and coffee were served, and this basement full of about 200 people were well fed that morning, and then Fred comes in. And Fred walks up to the front, and Fred's probably about that tall, 72 years old now. Doesn't walk like a 72-year-old man. I don't think I could keep up with him. And he walked up to the front. A friend of his had a cane. Fred doesn't use a cane, but a friend of his had a cane, real thick wooden staff on it, great big, probably about a 3-inch brass ball on the end of it. And Fred started prowling and preaching. Now, I haven't heard too many people preach like Fred. The crowd hadn't completely settled down yet, so as Fred walked around to the tables, he took that cane, held it by the end, not the brass end, but the wooden end, the pointy end, and he brought the brass end of that thing down on table after table. Kabam! You know, he said, now, you guys over here, you need to listen up. And you know what? Then he went to another one, and it wasn't just to get people to quiet down, it was to enunciate a point. The night before, one of the young men in that basement fellowship had died with an overdose of heroin. in one of the alleys there. And he was grieving, and his heart was broken, and he brought that stick down. He said, "I'm tired of seeing us picked off by the devil one by one." And he prowled that place. You know, not one person was offended. For 40 years, he's been pouring his life into their lives. Now, if I brought my little brass ball in there and started beating on tables, I'd probably get beat by the end of the day because I haven't spent 40 years demonstrating my love to those people. At the end of the message, which went on for about 30 minutes or so, and just shared the love of Jesus with them. with a few enunciations, a few exclamation points with the end of his stick, and then he gave it back to the guy who owned it. And I went up and looked at the table, and there were big dimples all over the tables. But at the end of it, they prayed, and Fred went to the back door, reached into a little pack that he had, and as people were filing out of that building, he'd put $1, $2, $3 for a cup of coffee later on or a bus ticket into their hands. I mean, 200 people. He ran out of money. And he said, "Hey, I need a ride, Bill." I said, "Well, okay." We're way past breakfast time by now. We never got to the breakfast. We actually ended up having lunch. But we went down the street to a bank, and he got a couple more bundles of ones and went back and continued. I said, "Fred, how often do you do this?" He said, it's every Thursday. It's every Sunday." I said, how much money do you go through in $1 bills? He said, "Oh, it's probably about $600 each time." I said, "Where do you get that from?" He said, "Well, the Lord provides from concerned people and people who want to be a part of this." And you know what I saw, what I watched? It wasn't just, as they say, rice Christians, people that are coming for $1, $2, or $3. There was such a heart connection with Fred and those folks. And many of them stayed, you know, long after the dollar bills were given to bless them for another 15, 20, 30 minutes in that day, watch something that was just outrageously beautiful. I didn't mean to talk about that much this week, but it just really gripped me. And he wasn't gentle with them. One of his staff guys, wearing the black and white Inner Cities Ministries staff t-shirt, was sitting by the door as he was on his way out, and Fred stopped and he said, "Now listen to me. You know what you need to do this week? You need to get your eyes off of you for a change and start putting them on somebody else." Ooh. I mean, that was a father, a pastor, ministering to somebody exactly what they needed. But God has a lot of wonderful people around the world, doesn't he? Doing some amazingly beautiful things for Jesus.
You're listening to Pastor Bill Welsh on Refuge Radio, the broadcast ministry of Refuge, Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. Just on the chance you can't stay with us until the end of the program, we like to take a break to let you know how to get in touch with us. Whether it's comments about the program or questions you might have concerning your walk with God or perhaps understanding of the Bible, you can call us at 714-891-9495. We always have someone waiting to talk to you during and immediately after our program. So once again, the number is 714-891-9495. Now let's get back to Pastor Bill Welsh on Refuge Radio.
Today, what we need to do is look beyond ourselves. We've been looking at, basically, over the last couple of weeks, us, what we can do to live above and beyond the call of duty. What we need to do today is to see what pure love really looks like. And not just out of interest. We're not just an audience. Do you understand that as Christians? You're not called to be just a weekly audience for Jesus. We need to go above and beyond being Jesus' fan club. Jesus didn't come into the world to start a fan club. He came to call followers. He doesn't need a fan club. He wants you in the band. You know what I mean when I say that? He wants you involved with him in all that he's doing. I want to look at this life that is lived above and beyond the call of duty as we look at how Jesus did it. In John chapter 13, look what Jesus says to his disciples. Now, you know, most of you know the scene here. Jesus is less than 24 hours from his death, his sacrifice, the laying down of his life for his people, including you. And he stops this night, sends a couple of his disciples up to prepare a room so they can share the Passover together. And then Jesus sits down with them, and look at chapter 13, verse 1. of John. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, that's before they ate it, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. What does it say there? He loved them to the end. Some translations put it like this. Not just that he loved them to the end, but he loved them to the full extent. He showed them the full extent of his love. Well, what did he do to show the full extent of his love? Look at the next verse. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, that's the outer garment, the cloak. He took a towel, girded himself, wrapped it around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he said to Simon Peter, he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter changes his tune then. Look at him in the next verse. He said, well, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Give me a bath, give me a shower, take me under, in other words. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you're clean, but not all of you, because he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. Jesus, knowing all power was his, he rises from supper, and he does a very unexpected thing. He walks over to the basin and the towel, puts upon himself the garment of a slave, a servant, and begins to wash feet. Masters didn't do that. Rabbis didn't do that. That was the job of the servant, the household servant. In fact, if you read back in the Gospels, you understand that it was Peter and John who were sent to set up the room for the Passover. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that as they're getting the room ready, one of them said, oh, we better have a basin ready. We better have some water. We better have a towel. And I imagine both of them are saying to themselves, I don't know who's going to wash feet, but it ain't going to be me. Who's going to be cleaning off the dirty feet? And they all sit down around the table, and no one has washed feet. And Jesus gets up. And the Bible says, John 13, having loved them, he showed them the full extent of his love. And he stoops down like a servant and makes Peter squirm. You're not going to wash my feet. Makes John, all of them, I think, were squirming. Oh, I bet I should have done that. John writes it down in his gospel. Boy, did he remember that moment that his master stooped down to wash his feet. Having loved his own who were with him, he loved them all the way to the end, taking upon himself the form of a servant. You want to talk about love that is above and beyond the call of duty? There's the master. There's God in human flesh wiping off dirt from the feet of disciples who should have been about that business. Turn to chapter 15 of John. It's one page over probably. And look at verse 9. Same time, same scene, Jesus with his disciples that night before he is handed over to be crucified. And listen to what he says to his disciples in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. How many of you want to live a happy life? Come on, admit it, admit it. We all want joy. All of us want it. You know what? This is a little mini message in the middle of this message. It doesn't have to do with the theme that we're on, but I just want to say it while we're on it. I talk to so many people that are bummed out about their life. I've been there myself. I go through seasons of that myself where I'm just not as happy as I want to be. And Jesus said, I'm telling you these things so that your joy will be full. Telling you what things? Well, what he just said to us. To love one another. He said, look, the Father has loved me, and I've loved you. Would you continue to love one another? And I'm telling you this so that you can be happier than you've ever thought you could be. Happiest people that I know are people like Fred Newkirk, are people like Mother Teresa. And yeah, I know we all read in the paper and in her little book recently that was put out about her life, anyway, not her book, but about her life, that she went through seasons of doubting. Haven't you? Haven't you ever gone through a doubt? But the most joyful people that I've ever met, true joy down in the heart, are the people that know how to live their life for someone besides themselves. I'm telling you these things so your joy will be full. Like Fred said to the man at the door, get your eyes off yourself for a moment. Start thinking about somebody else. That may be all you needed to hear this morning, but let's go on anyway, since I've got more to say, okay? Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now read verse 13 with me out loud, please. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this. It doesn't get any more extreme, any higher and further than this. The love of God. Jesus said there isn't any greater love than this. No higher, no further than to lay down your life for a friend. But Paul, I don't know if he disagreed with Jesus or he just said, can we just take this up a notch? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Look what Paul does with that same theme of love. In Romans 5, we were there about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We covered this, but oh man, listen closely to this. Starting in verse 6, Paul describes where we were when Jesus found us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, right at the right time, in other words, Christ died for the who? For the ungodly. Now follow along in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates, remember that word, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Jesus dying for the ungodly. That's going beyond dying for your friends. God demonstrates his love in that while we were still ungodly enemies and sinners, Christ died for us.
God is our refuge and strength. God is our help. God is the river whose streams make me when the waters roar, you are my help. And though the nations rage, you are my God.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Welsh on Refuge Radio, the broadcast ministry of Refuge, Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. Today you heard the first half of a message entitled Life Above and Beyond the Call of Duty, Part 3. If you like, you can get this message unedited on a CD for whatever donation you choose. Just give us a call, 714-891-9495. You can also get this and all of Pastor Bill's messages heard on K-Wave by going to our website, refugefm.com. They're all free and waiting for your download to your MP3 player or just listen on your computer. That's www.refugefm.com. Every once in a while, we need to remind you that this ministry is supported by God's people, you being one of them. This is not a pitch for money. It's a pitch for you to have a conversation with God, your Father, on whether He would like you to be one of those supporters. The only way we know about anything is to ask, so we urge you to ask. Refuge Radio reaches a lot of people. You might be on your way home from a tough day at work looking for a word from God to help you in your life. Keep in mind that others may be doing the same. Ask God if contributing to get this broadcast on the air is something He would like you to do. If so, then please visit us online at www.refugefm.com or give us a call at 714-891-9495, and we'll give you our mailing address when you have a pen and can write it down. That's 714-891-9495. You know, for us to even get a dollar in the mail for Refuge Radio, it's a message to us from God that we're on the right track and we've reached another person for Him. And you'd be surprised all the ways God can use that dollar. That's 714-891-9495. Thanks for being a part of God's radio ministry. And we look forward to getting together with you again tomorrow, right here on Refuge Radio.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.
This program is presented by Refuge, Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach, California.